Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for Friday, the 19th of February, 2021. I'm John McCallum, and we've got a few announcements, as usual. We have been reapproved on Apple, because apparently there was a technical glitch that prevented people from getting our podcast on there, but that has been resolved, apparently. So at some point within the next 24 hours, you should be able to find us back on there, if you happen to use Apple products. We are, at the moment, looking for a video content creator slash editor, someone who will be able to make videos for our various website and YouTube channels and other social media platforms. So if you feel that you would be a good video content creator for us, send us an example of your work. You'd have to work from the office, of course, because everyone has to work from the office. So send us that across to careers@lotusseeds.com, or you can go to lotusseeds.com/careers to check out what we've got there. We also have an article that I think is what?
It's opportunities.
Well, okay, opportunities, whatever.
You demanded it.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, we have an article on lotusseeds.com that I think is very interesting, and it's pinned in the chat on YouTube. I definitely recommend having a look at this, because the Democrats are proposing something they call the Safe Tech Act, which Hugo has done an analysis on, and he's referenced some very interesting people who they're of the opinion that it could destroy most of the open web. One comment on the article summarizes it as this: "The bureaucratic approach, as with guns too, provides so many small stones that it stops the tram. Without regards to the plebs using the thing, if it all crashes and burns, it affects the plebs more than the rich, who have the resources to do whatever they want." Well worth your time reading, and definitely useful information, because that's stuff that is probably going to come up further on down the line. So best get ahead of it. Anyway, since we're talking about the Democrats ruining everything, let's talk about Beijing Biden selling everyone out. Two stacks is definitely on the menu. As described by the Chinese, yeah, as Di Dongsheng, professor of politics in Beijing University. So the first one was Biden's bizarre dismissal of the Uyghur genocide, which I think at this point we don't have to contest. I think most serious mainstream thinkers agree that China is conducting what amounts to a genocide in the province that the Uyghur live in, because of the fact that they're not Han Chinese. And this is something that has been, this kind of genetic imperialism has been part of Chinese policy for the last 1,000 years or so. And so no surprises here. It's business as usual, it seems.
And there are at least, what is it, 3 in the last 100?
So yes.
During Joe Biden's life in politics,
yes,
he's experienced multiple genocides in China,
yes,
shall we say.
And he still takes money from them. But anyway, Biden was having a town hall meeting and said, well, if you know anything about Chinese history, it's always been the time when China has been victimized by the outer world is when they haven't been unified at home. So the central, well, vastly overstated, central principle of Xi Jinping is that there must be a united, tightly controlled China, and he uses this rationale for the things he does based on that. And he said that he was not going to speak out against the Communist Party's belligerent actions in Hong Kong or against the Uyghur or against Taiwan, because he pointed out to him that no American president can be sustained as a president if he doesn't reflect the values of the United States. And so the idea that I'm not going to speak out against what he's doing in Hong Kong, what he's doing the Uyghurs in the Western Mountains of China and Taiwan, trying to end the one China policy by making it forceful, Z gets it. Culturally, there are different norms that each country and their leaders are expected to follow. You think this is a senior moment, don't you?
If you actually watch the video, like, he does start it, so he's already talking about condemning Chinese actions, and then he says, we must stand up for human rights.
Yeah.
He also ends the segment saying, well, that's why we're standing up for human rights in the UN. And the middle part, that is him laying out Beijing's position, if you are to be charitable. It is him saying, look, this is what China thinks. They think that a nation state must be strong and unified. Therefore, that's why they're engaging in this. Whereas an American president has to represent the people of America, and that's the difference between us.
Yeah.
However, as the president of America, obviously the optics there and the fact that you're phrasing it like that is unacceptable. If a random YouTuber like you had said, this is what Beijing's position is on things and explaining it, sure, like everyone could understand.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't even mind him laying out Beijing's position. I'd expect him to be able to adequately lay that out, the position. But to then say, well, this is just different cultural norms. It's like, well,
well, he's explaining that they have a different cultural norm, that they are acceptive in the state role of the state being overbearing in the form of genocide in this case.
Yeah.
And that's something that is accepted in Chinese politics. Again, but not good for him to say it.
No, but the thing is, it's fine for him to lay that out, but then in the West, Mr. Biden, I don't know whether you've been aware of this, but we actually condemn genocide here. We actually think that all genocides are bad. We don't actually just go, well, you know, Chinese gonna Chinese, what are you gonna do? We don't do that. Yeah, that's
wrong. It is very weird that in response, because the question from the CNN anchor was, what do you think, or, you know, what do you make of the genocide there, referencing the Uyghur Muslims, you know, why would you respond as a mainstream politician?
Well, this, let me explain China's position here.
Yeah, like, why would you not just go, that's horrible, I condemn it? Like, why would the conversation not end there?
But why aren't you, like, okay, well, as the leader of the world hegemon, we're going to take action against this. Because exterminating a race of people's wrong, by the way, Joe?
Because it's not like you're not giving a lecture on Chinese history or policy. Like, you are a politician who's the president of the United States. It is embarrassing that he... looks like this,
It appears to be tacit approval of what China is doing by the non-intervention in his own rhetoric. Like, if he's going to be like, well, that's what China does, that's, you know, the Xi Jinping, you have to understand it from his position, he's got to do what the Chinese people want, and if they have a problem with these people, essentially, then I'm not going to make a moral stand on it. No, you're kind of demanded to take a moral position on this, Joe.
To be fair to him, though, he does start that bit. So the most shared clip is like a minute long. Mm. And if you go back a couple of seconds, he does say at the start, we should stand up for human rights. And the section a little bit after, he says, and that's why we're taking action in the UN to stand up for human rights, after he lays out China's position. So he does say those two bits. But it is very weird that you wouldn't just outright say, no, this is a genocide, we condemn it, and we're going to take action. And that should be the end of your speech.
And I think the weirdness comes from the fact that he's Beijing's friend in Washington, isn't it? I mean, I think that we can reasonably infer that to be the case at this point. I mean, they did say it.
Yes.
They did just come out and tell. We covered this in a podcast probably like 30 or 40 podcasts ago now. It was a while ago. We should probably get the clip up again at some point to show people. But a professor at Beijing University who was personally chosen by Xi Jinping to go over and find a bookstore that he could launch his book in just came out and said, yeah, well, we with the Trump administration in, we had no friends in Washington, they wouldn't take our money and they wouldn't do what we want. And now that Biden's in, well, they take our money and they'll do what we want. We have friends back in Washington. And this kind of implies that this is a continuation of that effect. If Biden's gonna be like, yeah, well, I mean, it's just Chinese cultural norms, calm down, we'll go to the UN about it. Like, okay, who's paying you? Well, we know.
Weird phrasing as well, yeah.
Yeah, weird phrasing. But, and the thing is, so this isn't like some, again, it's not some kind of morally neutral or even, you know, like, vaguely permissible thing, right? Because Mike Pompeo, the outgoing Secretary of State...
Like we're not talking about, you know, treating women differently in the workplace. Yeah. Talking about genocide.
We're not talking about veils or something, right? You know, and yeah, exactly. You know, we're not talking about the number of countries that have outlawed homosexuality or something like that. No, we're talking about active attempts to exterminate an ethnic group, right? So Mike Pompeo had come out before he was retired from the position, identifying Chinese government's treatment of the Uyghur Muslims as a genocide, and says that there's been a strong and long bipartisan commitment to Taiwan, and that's obviously going to be going off the table now. But the point is, the reason they call it a genocide is because it seems to be absolutely awful in every way that a genocide is, right? Because this is reported by CNN. And this is just like, okay, Biden, do you not have anything to say about this? China faces new claims of sadistic gang rape and torture of women inside its vast network of detention camps, according to a former detainee and camp teacher who spoke to CNN. It's like, okay, Joe, it's not just cultural norms. And if it is just cultural norms, those cultural norms are bad and we have a moral responsibility. Surely, at the very least, mention it in public. Right, I'm not saying invade China. I'm not saying you've got to stop trading with China. I'm just saying you have to accept that the Chinese Communist Party is doing bad things, really bad things, and that's all. That's all I want. Just that acceptance, Joe.
Did you watch this full clip, by the way?
No, I didn't. It was
okay. So there's like a woman who's like in her 40s saying that this happened to her. She heard other women happen to them, and then they cut to like the Chinese government, and they say the Chinese government's response, and it's like a 4chan post talking about the Holocaust. Where they're just like, they're just making this up for fame and money. It's like, what? Like, why would you make this up?
What fame and money is involved?
Yes, I want to be famous as a victim of gang rape. Like,
and how do you get paid from that? Like, what?
Doing interviews, I guess.
I guess, but come on, that's
but
ridiculous.
But it's like 4chan when they say that, you know, victims of the Holocaust, they're just doing it for money.
That's that is just awful. But yeah, Joe Biden, just cultural norms. Sorry, ladies. Cultural norms. There's nothing Biden can do. Thank goodness that's that problem done with. Obviously, the next one is the Wuhan Institute. that studies are showing that could well have been the source of the coronavirus is eligible to receive taxpayer funding through to 2024. That's good news, isn't it? Joe Biden has committed $200 million. Sorry, $200. That'd be fine. I mean, if that was it, I wouldn't be complaining quite so much, I guess. But $200 million of taxpayer money, according to a spokesman who spoke to the Daily Caller. So that's good. The World Health Organization, definitely not in China's pocket. Definitely not run by communists.
Did our stream just go down?
Did our stream just go down?
No. A lot of F's in chat, and the stream is buffering on my screen.
Right. Okay. Stream is buffering, apparently.
I know, we're back. Okay, I don't know. Sorry, lad.
Sorry, Mr. Xi Jinping. we actually agree with giving the Wuhan Viral Institute $200 million of American money because you clearly need that money and you clearly deserve it as well for all of the service you've done for the world, frankly. I don't know what I was thinking about. And I suppose it's in the light of that it makes sense that that Biden gives China access to the U.S. energy grid. We talked about this a while ago by repealing the executive order Trump had put in to specifically prevent Chinese companies from... And be very clear, Chinese companies are not separate from the Chinese government.
The Chinese government doesn't believe in property rights.
No.
Every company
they're communist.
Yeah, but it means every company that is Chinese is owned by the kind of communist Chinese party.
Yes. And Jen Psaki was asked about this in one of her famous now press conferences. And it was hilarious because you could see that instantly she wanted to tell everyone she wanted to circle back and made the hand motion, but caught herself because she's been mocked a lot for this. And so she stumbles on for about a minute and a half, really looking uncomfortable because the reporter just says, well, you know, how do you justify giving the Chinese Communist Party access to our energy grid? And she's like, blah, 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 and then ends it with, I'll circle back to you on that.
I was kind of expecting her to go, well, the Chinese have appointed a woman in charge of it.
Well, we'll get to that, in fact. We'll get to that. And of course, Joe Biden has pledged $4 billion for the global vaccine efforts. Again, our American friends, that's your money. That's your money that he's just like, yeah, have billions for problems overseas. Not our problem, your problem, their problem.
I mean, they're literally the arsonist in this case who burnt down the house and you're paying for the house to be rebuilt. Like, surely they should be paying.
Yeah, I wonder how much of this money is going to go to China.
So
really makes you think, doesn't it? And in the meantime, when it comes to more domestic things, the Democrats are just on insane civil war mode. It's wild. So this was an interview with Del Stacey Plaskett, an impeachment manager in the second trial of Trump. And again, I won't play the whole thing because it's a 7-minute clip or anything. But basically, the takeaway that CNN have given us is perfectly adequate to summarize what their opinions are. We are on the front lines to save our republic. We have shown who Donald Trump is, the enemy that was among us. Insane. This elected president is the enemy among us. And of course, that means his supporters. And so they've introduced the most petty legislation I think I've ever seen in my life. And they may as well just say the "we don't like Donald Trump and don't want him to be president again" legislation. Right? It's called the No Glory for Hate Act. But, oh, shut up. Just shut up. A, you're a side that doesn't believe in glory because you're entirely materialistic. And you're full of hate, so don't even start. But the bill...
Like, this act in and of itself is an act of hate.
Yes. It's an irrational act of hate, very clearly. But the point of this is to ban twice impeached presidents from burial at the Arlington National Cemetery and federal funds from going to buildings displaying their names or acknowledging their achievements.
That's fine, though, because he's never been impeached. Are they actually wording it like you have to be impeached twice?
Yep.
Because in which case this is a complete, like, nothing. They can't even implement
well
that.
Yeah, I mean, I assume the most acquitted president in history would still qualify.
He's actually the goodest boy,
so. He is. But this damnatio memoriae we'll come back to in a minute, but that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get Donald Trump effectively erased from US history. But anyway, let's go back to Biden and what he's doing, or in fact, what she's doing. Because it's not Biden doing things, because he's a senile old 78-year-old man who probably needs to go and have a nap. Kamala Harris is in fact taking the stage, and she's taking foreign calls on behalf of Biden, because why wouldn't she? When you have a literally the oldest president ever, he probably does need a bit of time off. You're going to have to step up as VP, obviously. She had a call to a foreign leader, Emmanuel Macron, which is interesting. I wonder what they talked about. She also spoke to Trudeau and Tedros, Ghebreyesus, from the World Health Organization, and they all agreed that they needed to strengthen bilateral ties between the United States and France, and of course Canada, and the conversation with Trudeau, to revitalize the transatlantic alliance. Harris and Macron agreed on the need for close bilateral, multilateral cooperation to address COVID, climate change, and support democracy at home and around the world. So, just empty words. I mean, what does any of that mean, really?
We will continue to be allies. Yeah, we already were.
We will continue to enact the globalist agenda that we have been enacting. I wonder if they spoke about Islam at all in that conversation. Probably not. Probably didn't come up. Probably just had other things to talk about. And she, of course, spoke to Trudeau as well and said exactly the same thing.
You know, I kind of love the idea of Macron screaming down the phone about Islamo-leftism. She's on the other end like, what have I done?
Yeah, what the hell is he talking about? But with Trudeau, she spoke about the US's desire to work closely with Canada on a wide range of issues. These are the exact quotes, by the way. Including combating the COVID-19 pandemic, addressing climate change, and expanding our economic partnership in ways that advance the recovery and create jobs. Well, maybe if you hadn't cancelled that damn pipeline that cost, what is it, tens of thousands of jobs, hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe that would have been a much easier thing. And probably wouldn't have damaged Canadian-US relations in the way it did. But hey, you guys take your decisions. The rest of us, I guess, just have to live with them. Right? So, and this, just to be clear, right? We're not insinuating in any way, shape, or form that Trudeau is anything other than a Chinese puppet himself. This was reported by the Post-Millennial a little while ago. And, I mean, it's just exactly as bad as you would expect. He personally invited the Chinese People's Liberation Army to train in Canada. This is the same army that conducted Tiananmen Square. This is Mao's army. And the cold weather training was cancelled by the Canadian Armed Forces, which sparked an angry response from Trudeau, who, quote, demanded that Canada's military not cancel any more engagements with the PLA without explicit permission first, and that the news of the cancellation had to be told to the PLA gently. Or what? You're not going to get your third stack? What's the problem here?
Presumably. Well, I mean, why else would he approve this?
Yeah,
if he's
exactly.
not getting paid.
Exactly. So. Why would he approve this? Same with Biden. Why would he make excuses for genocide? Why would he approve the Chinese army training in Canada? Like, I just find that mad. And then when he's upset
for
about
the invasion of Alaska, presumably.
I guess. You know, the Chinese are going to need a forward base in their invasion of North America, I suppose. And Trudeau's like, hey, that's very progressive. Use Canada. Well, it's mad. Everyone is getting sold out to China by their own world leaders. It's absolutely disgusting. I mean, like, in the UK, it took the Trump administration to essentially strong-arm Boris into making it so that the Chinese couldn't buy up our 5G infrastructure. It's like, why does that even have to come? Because the stacks are coming in. That's what it is. And the thing is, right, there's a part of me that's like, you know what, maybe rule from China would actually be better. Because things aren't going great here. Things are going really bad. I mean, look at the White House YouTube channel. They've been putting up clips and videos of Kamala Harris and Jen Psaki talking about the things that they're going to do. And honestly, I'm at the point where I was like, Chinese leadership's probably better than this. All right, let's watch this clip.
In 1 year, the pandemic has put decades of the progress we've collectively made for women workers at risk.
Based.
There are three main reasons for this, as we all know. First, job loss. About 2.5 million women have dropped out or have been forced out of the workforce during the pandemic. Second, small businesses are closing. Last February, around 5 million women were business owners. And 2 months later, by April, 1 in 4 had closed their doors.
It only affects the women.
I'm in a total agreement with Bernie Sanders. The American people are tired of women.
When did he say that?
You not seen that quote?
No.
I'll send it to you afterwards.
I haven't seen that.
It's a really famous meme where he just cut his speech. He's like, the American people are tired of women.
Yes, basically. But what I love about this is that 4,000 downvotes, 500 upvotes, comments off. Don't want to hear from you. We're here for women. But of course, that's not the only thing. Jen Psaki put up a 2-minute clip of her answering questions from Twitter. That's where the American public are. They're all on Twitter. These are kitchen table
except the ones you banned.
Yeah, except the ones they banned, of course. Yeah, so left wings. But this again, 1,600 votes up, 7,300 down. But let's watch what Jen has to say about small businesses.
What is President Biden doing for my small business? First and foremost, he nominated a woman to lead the Small Business Administration who formerly worked there. Second thing is he signed an executive order to make it easier for minority-owned small businesses to get access to the funding that they need. And third is that in the American Rescue Plan, there's currently about $60 billion to help a range of small businesses get access to additional funds.
Yeah, look how the small businesses are actually at the end of that list.
Yeah.
Firstly, I appointed a woman. Vaginas in.
Secondly, brown people.
And then thirdly, maybe helping small businesses. I don't know.
But a range of it. Okay, that range, I don't think is going to include things that might benefit white people. I mean, like, they seem to have specifically gone around that demographic and helped everyone except them. It seems to be they're actively singling out white men and saying, not for you, which... I mean, what else are you supposed to take from
that? To be fair, it wasn't their manifesto. So
I mean, it was, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not saying we didn't see this coming. I'm just saying this is exactly what we get. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think Chinese rule would be worse.
Thanks, Biden voters.
Yeah, yeah. Well done. ContraPoints. Shu. Vorsch. You. I hope you're happy with what you wrought, because you did this. But anyway, so awful, generally. Racial, gendered, essentially segregationist policies being enacted by Jim Crow Joe, which I think is a fair way to describe it at this point. I like Beijing Biden as well. Just it's unreal how all the memes just are true. And in response to all of this, of course, the Capitol fence is staying because they are well aware that, my God, you might actually be really angry that we're imposing a racial and gendered regime on you. That clearly you voted for overwhelmingly, most popular president ever. Just turn off those comments. Don't look at the down votes. You know, don't worry about that. Most popular president ever. And he needs a razor wire fence to prove how popular he is, right? The Capitol Police have decided, yeah, we're going to need to keep this. And so they're fine with it. And obviously all the Democrats are completely fine with having walls now, of course. And 40 Republicans signed a letter going, this is bad. Maybe we shouldn't do it. And
only 40?
Only 40. Only 40 Republicans.
That's depressing.
That's very depressing. It's very much like the conservatives over here. Very small number actually like, yeah, you know what? It's probably bad if we have an armed and occupied capital in the face of the American people who we're currently selling out to China.
Because if you accept this, it'll never disappear. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like the security arrangements that were in London. They were temporary and then they're just there forever.
As Thomas Sowell said, nothing's more permanent than a temporary government solution.
Hmm.
It was Sowell or Friedman. It was one of the two.
Sowell.
I thought it was Sowell. And so in addition to this, of course, there's no point having a razor wire fence if there's not going to be anyone to defend it. So they're going to keep 5,000 troops in Washington, D.C. This was rumored, but now we've got confirmation of it.
So again, a temporary thing that is now permanent for at least a year, which will be permanent forever.
And again, it just screams consent of the governed. It just screams most popular administration in history. It just screams this is what the American people voted for. They voted for a man who's clearly overwhelmingly popular and they just want to be sold out to China. Again, it's probably because of the reign of the SJWs at this point. I can only imagine that the average American's like, yeah, I'd rather be ruled from Beijing. Better than being ruled by this. 5,000 National Guards are going to stay there. Presumably, our roving reporter from within the Capitol Guard, White Hot Peppers, will be one of them, hopefully. It'd be nice to have information coming from inside the ground that we can trust. Apparently, this is because of, I don't even dare say, the conspiracy theory that may not be named.
Really? We're at that point?
We're at that point, yeah. Well,
because yesterday's podcast had a notice about the Voldemort conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and we didn't even talk about it. So it was like, okay, whatever you say, YouTube, you know, just, you know, you appear to have been losing your marbles, and so we...
I'm going to start putting it on, like, kids' videos for no reason
as
well.
Yeah, yeah, by the way, I can't even... I'm damnatio memoriaing it in the same way that Pelosi is. So it was because of the unmentionable conspiracy theory that these people appear to have lost their mind. They say some of these people... No, I'm not even joking. Like, imagine... It's ridiculous, right?
this is a debunked conspiracy theory, but also we need 5,000 troops because, you know, it might be real.
Yeah, right. Some of these people have figured out that apparently 75 years ago, the president used to be inaugurated on March the 4th. Okay, now why is that relevant? God knows, at any rate. Well, why are you bringing it up? God damn it, you know, like... Now they're thinking that we should gather, maybe we should gather together and storm the Capitol on the 4th of March that is circulating online. Where is that circulating? Like, I'm in all of these, on all of these other platforms. I haven't seen people talking about this. But it's like, okay, so a few lunatics online have said that, oh, March the 4th, we're going to storm the Capitol. That's not going to happen, is it? That's not going to happen. No one thinks that's going
to
happen.
Do you not remember the Facebook page to storm Area 51?
Yeah.
I mean, how many people were saying they were going to do that?
Millions.
And how many went?
None.
So...
turns out that things said online don't often translate into real life. But yeah, so this is why 4,900 troops are going to be staying in the capital with their razor wire fences, presumably indefinitely, because I can't imagine there's ever going to be a time when people on the internet don't look at Jeffrey Epstein's criminal record and Bill Clinton's apparent friendship and flight logs with him and go, there's something fishy going on here. That's probably going to be on the internet forever. And so... will the troops and the razor wire fences. But yeah, let's just get to Pelosi's damnatio memoriae of Trump. And this is, I should have had this earlier really, but Pelosi accidentally mentioned Trump's name. And let's play the clip if we can.
That a few years ago, a couple years ago, I guess it must be longer than that now when Trump was new president. Oh, did I say his name? When they did the ban, the Muslim ban.
I mean, she's 80 years old, so if she accidentally says the name of the person she's not meant to name, you got to forgive her.
But that means they actually have a rule, which that is means the they have a rule. To name
him. That means she didn't mean to say his name.
Also referencing a travel ban there that they came up with.
Yes.
It was literally Joe Biden, Obama yes. administration.
I mean, Joe Biden the other day was like, there was no COVID vaccine before I was president. You were vaccinated before you were president, Joe. Like, there's video of you being vaccinated before you were president. What the hell is wrong with you, senile old boomers? But anyway, the Lincoln Project, like, all of what I love about this, right? What I love about all of this is that every enemy of Trump is collapsing. And what are they doing? They're in the bushes watching Trump play golf. There's been new footage of them. I should have got it up for this, in fact. It didn't seem very important, but now I've said all this.
Got to get pics of that thick board, I guess.
Yeah, well, exactly, you know. And there was one that's like, Trump had yelled, oh, I hate this course, because he'd kicked a ball into the water or something. It's like, oh no, oh god, he was frustrated playing golf. That's it, Trump BTFO'd. But yeah, the Lincoln Project's collapsing under the weight of the grooming allegations. They got a fundraiser shut down. More allegations have come out that the Lincoln Project are the notoriously rhino, I suppose is the most charitable way of putting it. But I mean,
otherwise Democrats in Republican clothing.
Yeah, it essentially just appears to be a front for a grooming pedo network.
That's the allegation. So.
That's the allegation. But I mean, like, they've got to the point now where there are various members who are connected to it are just like, look, we should just shut this down. It's like, yeah, you probably should just shut this
like,
down.
Like, I saw a bunch of ex-staff were asking to be released from the non-disclosure agreements so yep. that they could speak. And the Lincoln Project were shuffling their feet on this. I was like, huh, this doesn't look great, guys. Like, why would you not just release everything if you've done nothing wrong? But
Trump investigated non-stop for years, found nothing, goodest boy. Every single person surrounding him in his contingent of enemies, weird at the very best. I'll skip over the Ted Cruz stuff because we're running out of time, but basically, obviously, they're going hard after Ted Cruz now because Ted Cruz is a supporter of Trump, and so just everyone has to. There's no end to the attacks, but yeah, so. Things going great politically in America at the moment. And obviously this will have ramifications across the world, but let's move on to the next segment in a second, John, if we can get all that up. Because this is all part of the same thing, right? So as you can see, the social justice warriors are in full control of the White House, right? They're in full control of American policy, and they seem to be completely happy to sell everything out as leftism, is selling everything out to China, which is not surprising, because obviously it's a communist state. And this is just everywhere now. I mean, I'm sure that everyone watching can see it in their own personal lives, that there is SJW nonsense everywhere. I remember 5 years ago going, oh, this is going to go straight to the top. This is going to be put into all the schools, into all the businesses. You're going to get this in your daily life. And it is everywhere, and it is trying to radically remake society. And it's got to the point where just the most extreme and fringe views of social justice are being presented as if they are the normal normal, like, baseline.
Provable fact.
The centrist position is the most radical left-wing position, right? So this one is the first one we'll go through. A New York public school principal sent a letter to white parents advocating for white abolition. So that's Noel Ignatieff's perspective. Again, a radical, really radical.
What, killing white people? What do they mean?
Well, his quote was, you know, being a traitor to whiteness is being loyal to humanity. So white people aren't even human in Noel Ignatieff's view, right? And he wanted to abolish whiteness. And so from academia, it has got to a New York public school where the principal is now writing to the parents saying they need to abolish white abolition and urging students to become traitors to their race.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, just change white with black there. Have like black traitor in the green section.
What the hell? I mean, it's just evil. This is just evil stuff. And it's, I mean, like in a New York public school, it's like, this isn't, you know, the lofty halls of academia anymore. This isn't like some bizarro think tank in government or something like that. No. This is your daily life, right? And as you can see here, we've got like the 8 white identities. Okay, tell me if you hold any of these, Callum. White supremacist.
No.
White voyeurism.
No.
White privilege.
No.
White benefits.
No.
White confessional.
No.
White critical.
No.
White traitor.
Definitely not.
White abolitionist.
Definitely not.
What the hell?
Like, why would I do any of these?
Yeah, why would I have any racial view of anything like this? White voyeurism. Wouldn't challenge a white supremacist, desires non-whiteness because it's interesting, pleasurable, seeks to control the consumption and appropriation of non-whiteness, fascination with culture, example, consuming black culture without the burden of blackness.
What the fuck?
This is just a mistake. Americans. It was a good attempt. And you had a really great run for about 300 years, but this has gone too far.
But your racial history intersecting with French ideology is just cancer.
Yeah.
Like, look at this.
Yeah. As Macron rightly pointed out, frankly. But yeah, this is insane. And school employees are forced to attend presentations denouncing the white race's paternalism and power hoarding, according to the New York Post. Just denounce the white race, please. That's all you have to do. Denounce the white race.
That's the public school position, I suppose.
That's the public school position in New York. Of course, breastfeeding itself is a form of patriarchy, which we covered, was it day before yesterday? But
So it was chest feeding. The NHS.
Yeah, it was chest feeding, yes. Well, but this has actually become a much broader problem. It's become ethically problematic. So as Campus Reform point out, in 2016, academics called breastfeeding ethically problematic because it endorses gender roles. And then in 2021, Brighton and Sussex University hospitals decided to go from breastfeeding to chest feeding. Likewise, Harvard Medical School referred to women as birthing people in an effort to...
We want to just birthing machine. Get it over with.
Yeah, just birthing body.
Yeah.
Body of births. But the attempt was to include those who identify as non-binary or transgender. Used a birther. Breeders, just that's what you call them. We are concerned about breastfeeding promotion that praises breastfeeding as the natural way to feed infants. It is the natural way to feed infants.
That's international law.
But it's not just that. It's just all of mammalian history.
Yeah, but also...
I mean, like, it's just literally the fact that we are mammals.
I know, but I wanted to
apart from platypuses.
Something we spoke on a premium podcast, just a small segment, which is that Nestle got in big trouble because they were advertising powder to mothers and then gave them enough free samples so that the mothers wouldn't produce milk and then charged them for the powder, which bankrupted them. And it was in countries that, you know, rates for child dying of diseases was higher. So they were literally killing kids by selling out these free samples, and they got sued in the international courts to the point that even the UN passed a resolution that all UN countries, when advertising powder, have to say breast milk is best. That is part of the advertising standards.
I mean, it's also scientifically true.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not just the scientism. There are a lot of dead kids that got us to this point. So
when are you going to get that premium podcast up, in fact?
When it's done.
Well, make it done. It's a really good premium podcast, and it will be up. And if you want to watch our other premium podcasts, which are actually all really good, the one about the immigration to the UK has had some very, very positive responses. But we've got a load of great premium content on lotusseas.com. But anyway, the reason that this is important, of course, Jessica Martucci of the University of Pennsylvania and Perelman School of Medicine and Anne Barnhill of Johns Hopkins University of Journal of Pediatrics say promoting breastfeeding as natural may be ethically problematic, and even more troubling, it may bolster the belief that natural approaches are presumptively healthier.
Presumptively.
It's only scientifically demonstrable.
It's only legally required as well.
And it only just makes common sense. The researchers find it ethically problematic because, quote, it may support biologically deterministic arguments about the role of men and women in the family. For example, women should be the primary caretakers of children. Wow. There's biological essentialism wrapped up in breastfeeding.
There's biological evidence that women are the primary caregivers to a child.
It's almost like, and I know this drum roll is a big, big announcement, humans are biological entities. I think I can prove that. I think I can scientifically prove that that's the case. Referencing the natural in breastfeeding promotion may then inadvertently endorse a controversial set of values about family life and gender roles, which would be ethically inappropriate, they state. Okay, lunatics, I agree. You will find that ethically inappropriate. However, I do find your scientific racism and racialization of the society, I find that ethically problematic. We have two diverging ethical systems that do not agree on how to run the world, and it's got to be a choice between one or the other. And I go for my version, not your version. Sorry. There is, of course, more breastfeeding nonsense. Australia's top university instructed staff to call fathers the non-birthing parent and mothers the gestational parent, as to not offend those who don't identify gender binaries. No, you know, no. I'm all in favour of offending those people at this point. I want them to be offended. I want them to be like, what, a breast? You're breastfeeding, but I'm excluded from that because I don't have breasts.
Yeah, like, get out. This is a mother's classroom.
Yeah, yeah. What are you doing in here? And of course, they want to ditch the term mother and father, obviously.
I love Douglas Murray's point on this, that people who identify as gender neutral or anything like that are just identifying as, I want attention.
Basically, yeah. Basically. They cite a 2019 study that said that heterosexual and woman-focused lactation language can misgender, isolate, and harm transmasculine parents and heteronormative families. Oh, well. This non-gendered language is particularly important in clinical or abstract academic discussions of childbirth and parenthood, both to recognize the identities of students in the class and to model behavior of students entering clinical practice, to brainwash them into becoming radical SJWs like ourselves. I'm happy with them not being like that. Moving on, the next one is people of color are apparently not welcome in English pubs. Don't know how they came to that conclusion, since the pubs are bloody well closed.
Like, who are they surveying in the pubs?
No one is welcome in pubs at the moment by government fiat. It is the law of the land. In fact, in Wales, it was literally illegal to serve alcohol. But we're brown and we're not welcome in pubs. Shut up. Just shut up. Don't even care. I love this, right? So what Metro have done here is interviewed like three people who are not white. And these three people are like, yeah, don't feel welcome in pubs.
Is one of those three the author as well?
But surprisingly not. But it's like, okay, well, look, here's the thing. If you don't feel welcome there, just don't go.
Yeah.
Just don't go. I don't feel welcome.
There's no blacks sign on the door.
Yeah, no.
This is in your head, mate.
Yeah, it's in your head. Yeah. I mean, like, I've go to pubs and I have never really thought about categorizing the races of the people in there, but it's always been a fairly diverse mix of people, I guess. I mean, it's just, who cares, right? I mean, I was just concerned about the pubs being open. But I mean, I bet you feel the same way as I feel when I go to the mother and toddler breastfeeding thing, right? And I'm just sat there with my son and they're like, well, we can't be exclusive. We can't tell him that breastfeeding is something that biological women do, because that would probably be a hate crime at this point. And so I'm just sat there smiling and going, yes, I am here to lactate.
I love the idea that your baby's like self-aware as well. And you're just looking at him like, go on, suck it. And he's like, the fuck's wrong with you?
But anyway, right? But this is what it is. So
it's literally that Family Guy sket with
Stewie. It is literally that. And you're not allowed to laugh at that anymore because that's transphobic. Kevin Devine, who is not his real name, obviously, who is black, good thing they told us, has felt the hostility in pubs many times. When you look at all the flags outside a pub and just see white people inside, it makes you think twice, said the racist.
Says you, man. Like, what is wrong with you?
Racism. He's a racist. He sees a group of white people with a British flag and says, oh God, I'm not welcome there. It's like, okay, but did they say that? No, that's in your head. You said that. You had a presupposition, you had a presumption about these white people that they're bad and hate you because you have bad views on white people. That's where that came from. No one put that in your head. You did this to yourself, right? He's like, pubs are seen as super British, but the Britishness they represent is kind of at odds with the kind of Britain I occupy and envisage.
Occupy?
Yes. He literally describes himself as an occupier in Britain, and he has a different vision of Britain than the vision that the British have.
That just sounds like an invader who wants to change where he's living.
Yeah, it's a colonizer. Yeah. I mean, that's what the British did to India. That's what the British did to various other countries. And that's what he's doing to Britain, in his own words. That's his view.
I mean, it's only him saying it. Take him seriously.
Pubs are seen as super British, but the Britishness they represent is kind of at odds with the kind of Britain I occupy and envision.
Too bad, mate.
That's too bad. Go somewhere else then and be British there. I'm not interested. I like pubs. I used to like pubs anyway before the government closed them all. So, I mean, that kind of aspect of Britishness is gone. But too bad. That's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion. The pubs are the pubs and they should be open.
My version of pubs is they are American bars.
Yeah, exactly. Then go to America.
Go to America. Sell off.
One time I went inside and it was like one of those scenes from a Western flick where the out-of-towner steps into a saloon and all the patriots stop what they're doing and follow his every move. Even the bartender forgot he was pouring a pint and let it overflow. And then everyone clapped, you bloody liar. No one believes you. No one believes you. But yeah, so we'll carry on because we're running out of time because there was so much of this to get through. Apparently 20,000 homophobes have signed a petition over the gay kiss in the Cadbury's cream egg advert, and that's the thing that's ridiculous, according to the Mirror. It's not that there was if we can scroll down a bit and get a picture of it, it's not that Cadbury's decided that the way they were going to market their cream eggs was have a cream egg between the lips of two gay men kissing. That's not ridiculous. That's totally normal.
How will this help us sell more cream eggs?
Exactly. We'll get to that because he might be a Nazi, but he predicted this. But I haven't seen the advert because I don't have a television, because God, why would you want a television at this point? But apparently a real life couple were sharing a cream egg with their mouths in the advert before the goo from the egg goes everywhere as they bite it. That's gross. I wouldn't want to see that in a heterosexual couple. Would you want to see a heterosexual couple in an advert close up kissing with a cream egg in their mouth?
Not really.
And the goop going everywhere? Like, that sounds gross.
It's also more ironic when it's two men, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
White goop.
Yeah. So. But the petition, apparently, I love this, the advert was praised by the vast majority of viewers, right? They link to another one of their own articles saying people on Twitter were really impressed. The LGBT lobby on Twitter were really impressed by this. So yeah, the vast majority of the viewers. Yeah, okay.
The ones I could find in my own circle.
Yeah, exactly. You know, get off Twitter. It doesn't represent reality. But thousands have put their name to the petition calling for the advert to be banned as they claim it's offensive to Christians. It's offensive to good taste.
No, like, I'm an atheist. It's still offensive.
Yeah, exactly. It's still gross.
Because it's cringe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's cringe. It's gross. And again, I wouldn't want that to be heterosexual couple. That's gross. What are you doing? You know, sell me a bloody egg. But the petition reads, by choosing to feature a same-sex couple, Cadbury's are clearly hoping to cause controversy and escape criticism by claiming any objections must be rooted in homophobia, but members of the LGBT community have also expressed dislike for the campaign, which doubtless they have. If the couple in question were heterosexual, the advertisement would likely be prohibited given the sexually explicit and graphic nature of the kiss, which is probably true.
Well, is that advertising guidelines?
That's the opinion of the people who made the petition, but I mean, it's probably true.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably...
I'm sure you could find an argument for that in the guidelines.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're trying to cause gratuitous offence to members of the Christian community during the most important feast in their calendar, which, of course, is Easter. And one of them hit back on Instagram saying, so it's okay when an advert sexualises a woman to benefit the male gaze and make other women feel inadequate if they do not live up to this beauty standard. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Like, that's not what they're saying. What they're saying is, how about you don't have a weird sexy kiss with a cream egg, like super close up? It's gross. Like, no one wants to see it. And yes, Stonetorse called this. Like, it's unbelievable how much this is true. Like, and for anyone who can't see, it's an advertising executive. It's like, behold, our newest campaign. And it's a gay kiss with a burger. And someone asks, are you sure this will help us?
It's a white and a black man kissing as
well. That's true, yeah. That's true, yeah. The Cadbury's is actually racist. I didn't realize. Good point. Are you sure this will help us sell more burgers? And the advertising executive's just like, burgers, and that's exactly the position we're in now.
We're not here to sell you a thing. We're here to sell you ideology.
Yes.
I mean, they literally admit
it's everywhere.
When you talk to these people who make these kind of things, like, they will literally say, we're helping promote X, Y, and Z acceptance.
Yep.
And all that is just intersectional ideology wrapped up in
They're speaking to Twitter when they say that.
It's a dog whistle. So,
yeah. And but yeah, this stuff is everywhere, and it seems to be fully on the march. It seems that they think that they've arrived at the promised land, and we can remake society in the image of social justice, which I'm not very happy with, got to be honest. Sorry, we're having a bit of a... one of the tweets, the Liberal Democrats deleted one of the tweets that we were going to reference.
I didn't archive that one because I didn't think they were going to.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I remember what it is.
Yeah, yeah. You can just tell us about it as we go.
It would be like Winston. I've got memories.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You can't memory hole this, Lib Dems.
Oh man.
But so what's been happening with the BBC?
So there's this sort of small story that I thought was going to be small, but no, it's kind of blown up. So this is a front page news on the BBC, and then I got into it, and the BBC are unhappy that YouTubers are saying things that they don't like.
Oh no!
And therefore, they have to go. And they're exacting their will here.
My goodness.
Don't worry about this tweet. I'll just remember it. So let's get up the first tweet, which is from a BBC-funded journalist who is working for a Welsh news outlet, but the Welsh news outlet is funded by the BBC.
Right.
So, and he's saying that this YouTuber, which he doesn't like, needs to go because that's it. That's
because it. I don't like them.
Because I don't like them, they have to go. And of course, they're political, and of course, they're anti-woke, because
right.
It always
goes so, the YouTube channel they're targeting is an explicitly anti-woke channel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've watched some of their stuff. They just seem to be pretty much anti-woke types.
Just normal, right? I watched a couple of their videos, too. They seem to be normal, working-class Welsh people.
Yeah. So let's get this one up. So this is...
And just say, half of my family's Welsh. I'm very familiar with this kind of culture. It's a good culture. I like it. No. It's very much family oriented, and you can see it in their videos, right? Because they've got like, you know, a few of them doing it, and it's very sort of like very unpretentious is a good way of describing it. You know, like based wholesome, you know, but caring and loving family environments. You know, it's good salt of the earth sort of people they seemed. And I'm not explicitly familiar, but that's what the impression I came away with.
So this is this journalist tweeting out. So he says here,
Gwyn Loder.
Tonight on the news in Welsh, yeah. There, the first two of a special report on Welsh YouTube channel accused of being, quote, racist and, quote, sharing abominable language and thinking.
Oh, how dare they think?
His crime is thinking wrong. Literally, you've had too much to think there.
But I love that the problem, that they've been accused of being racist, as if that's a crime in and of itself. We're accusing you of racism. How do you plead? Mm. But secondly, can you point someone that you don't accuse of being racist?
Is this
remarkable or unique in any way, shape, or form?
I mean, literally everyone gets accused of racism for chest feeding now, I guess. Yeah. Not using that term. So anyone. Anyway, just to point out here. So
pubs are just racist because people drink in them who aren't black.
I want to put up the Wikipedia page of the news organization. So the next one. This is just confirming that, yes, they are, the parent company is BBC Wales. So they are funded by the BBC,
right.
Even though it's got a Welsh name. Mm-hmm. And I want to play the first clip. Sorry about the quality being a bit low, but this is the reporting on this YouTube channel for existing. So let's just play.
A Welsh YouTube channel has been labelled racist after an investigation by BBC Wales found it had shared videos with members of the Proud Boys, a group that's been outlawed as a terrorist group in Canada.
Whoa, who cares about Canada?
The Voice of Wales have been removed by YouTube, but the people running it say they're giving a voice to people who aren't represented by the mainstream media. Renoda reports.
Penally, Pembrokeshire, last September.
Based Welsh.
A protest opposing the housing of asylum seekers at a local military training camp.
Based.
Also present, broadcasting seemingly supportive coverage, is a YouTube channel called Voice of Wales. It's fronted by Dan Morgan and Stan Robinson, who claim to be journalists, giving voice to those not heard in mainstream media. But we've heard concerns they have a darker side. A county councillor has told us that he's been harassed by Voice of Wales after opposing the protests in Pembrokeshire. This harassment included an allegation that he shared a sexually explicit video of an underage schoolgirl, a claim he totally rejects.
Obviously, they do take an eventual toll, I suppose, on you, and not just me, I suppose, friends and family as well, who are obviously concerned to make sort of false allegations. Just the fitting of your narrative is very, very wrong.
Soon. Voice of Wales keeps controversial company. Guests on the channel include the Proud Boys, a far-right group active in North America, banned from Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, and now classed as an illegal terrorist group in Canada. They've also been involved in discussions with figures such as Tommy Robinson and Katie Hopkins. both banned by Twitter for breaching hateful conduct guidelines.
Oh, well,
and some have raised concern about the language used by the presenters too, including these remarks by Stan Robinson during a recent broadcast.
If I want to, go and imbibe all things Indian, I'll get on a jet and I'll fly to India. I don't want to get out of my house and have it on my doorstep, thank you very much.
The only thing, I suppose, where maybe we differ on that a little is, the Indian community, our Hindu community, I believe, are the best of us.
Actually, Kay, you're right. That was a bad analogy. India is Pakistan, actually.
The Pakistani Muslim mob, in my parlance,
yes,
that I find particularly problematic, and that's my personal view.
Yeah, so do I.
So there's gold. Uzu Uwobi, there's Barack Obama, Martin Luther King.
Whilst passing a building in Cardiff B displaying posters of prominent black individuals during a recent live stream, this is what Dan Morgan had to say.
It's actually the arts Council of Wales. Because we all know that's what Wales is going to become.
Senior politicians have criticised Voice of Wales.
It's very, very worrying, and it is very dangerous. Unfortunately, their real aim is to create hatred, to create division, to stir up racism.
This kind of hate,
hate-fueled
politics, then that can develop into consequences for the society as a whole, which none of us, I think, should allow to happen and want to see.
The Welsh Conservatives said they also had concerns in a statement condemning what they regard as foul and unacceptable language and ideas. Voice of Wales deny allegations of racism and say free speech includes the right to offend and, of course, to be offended. After we contacted them, YouTube confirmed they had removed 3 videos and denied advertising on 6 others featuring Voice of Wales as they were found to breach their policies.
When led up with that report?
That was unreal. So what this looks like to me is that Wales has been getting their dose of mass immigration, and the working class people of Wales don't really seem to like it, and the elite of Wales, who are profiting from all of this, are like, oh my god, well, if we allow them to keep saying that mass immigration is bad for their communities, then that could cause us to actually accept that the Welsh people have a moral claim to Wales that foreigners don't have, and that would actually cause quite a lot of trouble because we've been creating a condition that insists that no, they don't, and foreigners have just got as much a claim to Wales as they do, and that can't be allowed.
That's an accurate description of how things are going here, I would say. So I wanted to just go through a few points there. So the first one, that claiming Proud Boys terrorists because the Canadians say so. Well, I look forward to the BBC...
Well, what does Xi Jinping say?
I look forward to the BBC reporting that Antifa have been terrorists. Oh, wait, they never do. They got claimed as terrorists internationally by the Trump administration.
Doesn't matter.
They also have him claiming to be a journalist. There was a great quote by one of the Voice of Wales guys. Look, if a man can claim to be a woman, I can claim to be a journalist.
More importantly, if the BBC reporters can claim to be journalists, anyone else can too.
Definitely anyone else can. Yeah. So he also accused a Welsh councillor of being a nonce or doing noncery things. I don't know the truth of this, but I did notice that they happened to just say he was a councillor and they didn't explain which party he's from. So this is just...
And this guy was like, hey, wait a minute.
So his Twitter account here, 23, Welsh Labour, county councillor, economics grad, trustee and master's student, persistent about doing the right thing, gay flag, I'm just going to say, Welsh flag, EU flag, he, him.
Oh yeah, there's no way this guy's going to be found eventually to have been grooming young boys like the Lincoln Project or anything.
That's what's being alleged against him, but I don't know the truth.
No, that's definitely not going to happen. Certainly not. Joshua, if you have such a problem with Voice of Wales saying these slanderous things on there...
Just sue them.
Sue them, yeah.
Like, they're claiming something serious, so you could just sue them.
Absolutely, you can get some money out of this. Assuming that it's just as untrue as you say.
Yeah, so they also say that... they're complaining about Pakistani integration not being perfect. Like,
understating the situation, isn't it?
There are a bunch of black Americans being celebrated at the Welsh Art Council.
As you would expect.
Yeah. Like, why wouldn't they? It's meant to be a Welsh Art Council. And then that they interviewed Mrs. Hopkins, who cares?
Dun, like, dun, dun.
That's not a crime.
And Lord Voldemort.
And they interviewed Lord Voldemort. How can they do this? Except that's a complete lie. They, even in the clip they show. So let's get the first image.
Oh, he was there, wasn't he?
No, he was there. But yeah. You'll notice that's actually not their live stream.
Oh, is it
it's
not?
Theirs.
Is so it the someone else's?
First image. This is The Right View, which is a completely different channel.
Right, okay.
They just happen to be invited in part of a group.
Yeah.
And there we go. That's them interviewing Voldemort here, which is just a lie. Just outright lie by the BBC.
Right, okay. Why not?
And in response, the BBC lobbied for YouTube, and they say that they've had 3 million videos removed and 6 demonetized. They're claiming that apparently 2 of them removed for COVID Stasiism, so I don't know how many, but they seem to have been able to successfully lobby YouTube from the establishment side in cohorts with Labour Party members here.
Yep.
Like, they're definitely giving the Labour Party perspective. I mean, the politicians they had on there,
sorry to interrupt, but what I love about this is literally the framing of this was, well, we're giving a voice to the unheard people of Wales, and the BBC's like, that's unacceptable. We don't want to hear from them.
That's the problem. So, I mean, look at the production quality, for example. This is what I know that some people are going to take this as criticism, but I actually love how this sort of stuff looks, because it looks real.
Yeah, it's authentic.
Like, they're sat there with a little green screen, and it's great. It's absolutely great. They're having a good time. Anyway, so the Labour MP was criticising them there. The leader of Plaid Cymru, basically just leftism.
How dare you give a voice to these plebs?
And then a leftist councillor. And then the Conservatives, so proto-leftists, saying that they had unacceptable ideas and language. Pathetic. Pathetic people. Should be ashamed of themselves. And of course, just because the local Welsh news coverage was that, the BBC had to cover this as well. So the next article was this was on the front page. Like, I logged into the BBC just to see what they're reporting on every day. I just got out, and just like front page reporting was this BBC story of them saying that this, you know, accused racist channel exists.
Just accused of racism. That means nothing. Do you know how little that narrows it down, BBC? Like, you know, what isn't being accused of racism? That would be a shorter list. Look at that.
This is BBC reporting here. Like, they're promoting it.
Okay, oh, they were accused of racism, were they? Don't care. Nobody asked.
So I just clipped out a little bit here of the reporting BBC did that was not done by the other site. So let's play video 2. So this is the BBC reporting on what Hood's, you know, the crime that's taken place.
Dun, dun, dun. Is there no sound to this?
Not to the start.
Right.
If I want to, go and imbibe all things Indian, I'll get on a jet and I'll fly to India. I don't want to get out of my house and have it on my doorstep. Thank you very much.
A lot of the things that they're saying are putting so many people in danger.
No, indirectly.
They spout a lot of ideology around immigrants and refugees and of the Muslim community.
The irony.
And knowing these sort of people myself, it really does make me fear for their safety, because I know that a lot of impressionable people will take that and target all their anger and
she can hardly stop herself
people.
From laughing. She can hardly stop herself from laughing. She is lying, and she knows she's lying. Why are we taking a lecture from a child anyway in the first place? I'm so sick of this.
Because this is the state-funded media, and the state-funded media have determined that this person's view is important. Here.
It's so transparent. I don't care about this 12-year-old lecturing me about people being in danger, and then flee the country.
But on this YouTube channel, just saying that, you know, integration hasn't been perfect. I mean, that's essentially his complaint.
I would rather Wales look like Wales than India. Oh my God, controversy.
Take him down.
Yeah.
This guy, shut it down,
this guy's anti-colonialism. You know, what a bigot.
So that was a woman who was labelled from the BBC as from an organisation called Stand Up to Racism.
Yeah.
This is image 2, so this is just the officers at Stand Up to Racism. President Diane Abbott. God. There, so Labour Party affiliated. But it gets worse. I thought it might just be Labour Party. I found out today that it's not just them.
Oh, which Conservatives are on there?
Oh, no. Well, David Cameron endorsed it once, which, of course, moron. But the next image here is, this is a thing I found. This was an argument within leftist organisations. So I'm getting this from leftists who are complaining that they don't like that the Labour Party and the Socialist Workers' Party are combining here. So this is what's described as a leading member of the Socialist Workers' Party who went to some debate or another. And then the next image here is just a segment of his speech. And in here he says, finally, We are aided by the fact that the Socialist Workers' Party is closely identified with the anti-racist movement in Britain. We are central to stand up to racism.
Of course they are.
So they're saying that they're part of the central running mm-hmm. of this organization. Yep. And if you just go to the Socialist Workers' Party's page, they're a Trotskyist organization, self-identified. They self-identify as Trotskyist.
So commies are driving the agenda once again.
And the state media calls them up and are like, hey, we've had someone criticizing immigration. Shut it down, will you? They're like, no problem, buddy. And they jump in there and say that this is horrible.
Mad.
It's a really good way of seeing how the state in the UK works, though. Someone criticizes something and they're like, lobby YouTube, get the state media involved. Call in the Trotskyists. We got to deal with this.
Yeah, how the cathedral operates.
Mm. But it's not...
against the working class, incidentally.
And you also have to take into example that this is the BBC, and I just wanted to bring this up because they've still not taken this down. So this is a statue at the BBC, which Paul Joseph Watson's pointing out here, was created by a convicted paedophile. The BBC know this.
What?
I mean, let's talk about the fact that the BBC, you know, Jimmy Savile, Gary Glitter, all that stuff.
Yeah.
This is still there. They know. People have complained about this. There have been petitions to get rid of it.
When was it created?
I think it was like a couple of decades ago, something like that.
So it's not even... if it was an ancient statue, okay.
No. But for people who can't see as well, it's like an elderly man with a whole beard holding a naked child with his genitalia out. It's just like, okay, it's weird at the best of times, but then when the guy who made it was a convicted nonce who was noncing on his own daughters... you think you'd remove it?
Yeah.
I mean, you'll notice all the statues that have to be taken down for, you know, he once owned a slave in the time where slavery was universal. Yeah. I don't think that noncery has ever been universal.
No.
I suppose at the BBC, different case.
Well, I mean, Jimmy Savile.
Yeah.
That's it. Literally BBC Jimmy Savile, shut up.
And of course, the establishment also had to call in Hope Not Hate here, which is just a bunk organisation.
We need experts on noncing. I guess you can give me a call, Nick.
So they promoted this story as well, being like, oh, we need to take this down because they're criticizing immigration.
Hope Not Hate also being a front for communism.
Yeah, next one here is just a link to remember, for everyone to remember.
Oh, look at that.
The head of research at Hope Not Hate is a self-identified member of the Communist Party of Great Britain.
Yeah.
So not as radical as the Trotskyists, I suppose, but still an out-and-out communist by his own standards.
Well, I mean, how it depends. He might be a Leninist or something. Like,
but look at this. I mean, it's just a channel. It's just a random channel, right? And you must be thinking, like, they must be storming YouTube the way that they get this much coverage.
Oh, well, I mean, millions. They must have, hundreds of thousands of subscribers, millions of views a month. They must be clearly having an impact on the culture of Wales.
Yeah, they must be destroying the Plaid Cymru guys at the next election or something. Next link is just their channel. 6,700 subs. They used to be 5,000. They got 1,000 just from this media report.
Now, I don't want to suggest that there's something inadequate about that.
But it demonstrates that even the slightest—that's
the point—disagreement
about the fact that integration's not perfect in this country.
The smallest amount, and it's not so much about that either. I think it's also about the position that Voice of Wales come from, as in they are Welsh and they are Indigenous Welsh people. And they are complaining about the colonization of their country. And that makes it the pinprick, I think, that they can't resist.
So the...
that's wild. Like, it's not like they're even getting like viral videos or something. It's just their audience that's watching their videos, right? Which, normal, don't get me wrong.
And it's not even neo-Nazi or anything, actually racist. I watch their stuff. They're not. They're just anti-woke, centre-right people, conservatives, let's say. And that's enough to get the entire British establishment involved in shutting it down. We've got to lobby YouTube. Because remember, this is how they got rid of Voldemort as well. That's why he's gone.
Yep.
They literally pulled in a guy from YouTube and berated him for an hour about how they're still getting recommended videos in their recommended site. And the guy was just sat there like, well, stop watching him then. This isn't my fault the Labour MPs are so interested in him.
Yeah, you can't stop watching Lord Voldemort. Not me.
They're all women as well, so I do have to wonder.
It's all,
Anyway, last couple of things I wanted to cover here, because they're semi-related in the free speech realm, is that we got this report out that of the police log in this country, non-hate crime incidents, so not crimes, but they're hate incidents.
Yeah, we covered this a while ago where the police were actively saying, well, look, even if it's not a crime, come and report it to us anyway. So why the hell would you need to do that?
So they've done it. They've got 120,000 reports, they've said, after a Freedom of Information request were made, and they said that not one crime was helped by this. So they got 120,000 reports from the public about incidents, you know, all the administration that goes along with that.
Yeah, we're paying
spent
for all of this.
And they didn't help one iota in any crime.
I would like them to calculate how much it costs to log one hate crime report that is not a crime, and then we can work out exactly how much of our money they've wasted.
Yeah, I mean, they're literally saying here they were not able, of the Freedom of Information request, 43 police forces, not one could say that they could have one crime was prevented by this, mm-hmm. and 20 admitted they didn't even have a system in place to monitor the effectiveness. So they're just doing this for, you know, fulfilling the law's sake.
For labor.
Yeah. Reports on non-high crime hate incidents can show up in criminal records for at least 6 years. So if you have one put against you, which again is not a crime, it will be on your criminal record for 6 years at least.
We've got a record of you doing something that wasn't illegal. How do you plead? Not guilty?
I don't know. Like, what
yeah.
do you want?
Well, yeah, I mean, am I guilty of doing something that wasn't illegal?
And the most absurd things, like there was a Harry Miller, you must remember.
Yeah, I remember. Harry the Owl, yeah.
He was a hate crime
incident. With his limerick. He liked a limerick.
He liked a limerick, and that was it. The police came round to, quote, mm-hmm. check his thinking, in the same way they were discussing the thinking of this YouTube channel.
That was exactly the term they used, and it was a transphobic limerick. And so you can see why they would need to check his thinking
according
in those
to
words.
The police of vice and virtue.
Yes.
So he says, he issued a statement on this because he runs Fair Cop now, or apparently he's a co-founder. These reports have allowed the police to become weaponized by woke activists who seek to attack and shut people down if they dare express a view which they do not agree with.
Correct.
Totally right. Totally right.
Correct.
The College of Policing's point of view is that social media hate crime must be treated as a priority.
Why?
They don't mention one here.
Because presumably the Labour activists who put all of this into place were on Twitter, and they've been told by the people on Twitter that this is a big deal.
They've got to deal with it. Mm. I mean, it is the law, and I don't know why the Conservatives don't just get rid of it.
I don't know.
We're all waiting. It's been 10 years.
Literally, get rid of the Supreme Court, get rid of Tony Blair's immigration reforms, get rid of almost everything that Tony Blair did in his tenure. Just get rid of it all.
I mean, for Americans who might not understand, it's not like they don't have control of different houses or something.
Oh yeah, they've got it all.
They've got it all. They have absolute power, because that's the way the Parliament works here.
Yeah.
And they,
Parliament is sovereign. Well, okay, we'll stack it with Conservatives. Ah, you're regretting that? No, because we control the Conservatives. Ha 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 ha.
Like, there are checks and balances, just to be accurate, in the House of Lords and stuff, but there's nothing stopping them from getting rid of old Labour policy. Nope. Nothing at all.
Literally, they could have done it in a week.
Yeah. And then the next thing was the Lib Dems tweet, just to show the absolute state of this country, which we can't show you because they've deleted it.
But I did watch it, because it was a clip from what, Question Time?
So this is Question Time, and a Lib Dem MP, Liberal Democrat, was asked, is free speech a priority in this country? And she responded with no.
But it was the way she responded with no as well. It wasn't just that, because I mean, like, you're in the middle of a war, and you know, you go to Churchill, Miss Churchill, is free speech a priority? Be like, no, not at the moment, we're trying to defeat the Nazis. But that wasn't the way that she approached it. She got all high and mighty and hoity-toity, no, this is not a priority, let me tell you why. It's like, how about you shut up then? You know, how about we take away your free speech if it's not a priority? Don't tell us. But the point is, she was almost offended by the question of whether free speech is a priority.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
No, absolutely
she did say
not.
Absolutely
yeah.
not in response.
Yeah.
Pathetic.
Unbelievable. Liberal Democrats.
But that's the stance of free speech in the UK. You will be investigated for your thinking, if not by the police, by the state media who are funded by you.
It's disgusting.
Wonderful. And the last
thing I wanted to add just at the very end is Matt Christiansen, a YouTuber I very much like and respect, has apparently been deplatformed by Streamlabs, which is really bizarre because Matt Christiansen, he used to be a Democrat and became a Republican. That was his political journey. Very, very centrist.
He's never said anything extreme that I've ever seen.
I've watched every video he's ever made. I haven't watched all his live streams, obviously, but like, you know, his is one of the like circulation of channels I watch when I'm doing the dishes after dinner. Love his work, love his work, love his delivery, love his analysis as well. He's absolutely brilliant. And for some reason, he doesn't swear. He doesn't say anything edgy. You know, he just gives sensible, concise arguments, lays out the facts as they happened, has done nothing wrong, and he's been deleted. It's absolutely atrocious customer service. You deleted my account and gave no notice, saying that I violated the terms with no specific mention of how. Why would they want to tell you? He says, I'm a Prime subscriber. You take my money and delete my account, ending service with no explanation why. Completely outrageous. So he paid for a year's worth of subscription, and that's gone now. I mean, there's presumably legal consequences.
Is
yeah, he can presumably sue Streamlabs, and I'll support his efforts to do so in any way that I can, because they owe him money. Mm. You know, it's one thing saying you're not allowed to use a service. Well, okay, fair enough. I mean,
but if I paid for the damn thing,
exactly. But if money changed hands, you owe me. You can't just steal it. So so I just thought we'd give out a shout out to Matt Christiansen there because,
and they've not given a reason. So
unjustified deplatformings are obviously something we're completely against. We've got loads of video comments today.
Do just want to say sub the Voice of Wales. I've given them a sub.
Yeah.
Just for no other reason than death to the BBC.
Yeah. But yeah, right. So if you want to send us video questions or comments, you can become a gold member on loadseas.com. And of course, it gives you access to all of our wonderful premium content, loads of great book clubs, premium podcasts, and premium articles. One of the things that we get told by people is that we don't ever tell people just how much we have on there. We've got loads on there. We've got loads of great reporting, loads of great premium content, and definitely worth your time going there. But right, let's hear what we've been told.
Carl and Callum, it is accurate to state that conservative Christians are the opponents of progressives, socialists, and Islamists, the SJW axis. This puts us in the same camp as other groups that we would not naturally align with. This misalignment is very apparent from the way that Christian belief is spoken of dismissively by those we work in concert with to oppose the aforementioned axis, despite us sharing many of the same values. I think an obvious shared value of conservative Christians, the concerned centre, and the moderate right is that of yourself, i.e. the physical body, fruits of labour, and process of thought. They cannot be owned by another person or taken without it being theft. Conservative Christians fundamentally view this as a result of yourself having been voluntarily sold to God through the self-sacrifice of Christ, and there is nothing of greater value that can be used to tempt God into selling you. Romans 6:15-23 expresses why we view it this way. So in closing, I think that if this uneasy alliance between the allies, those who oppose the axis, is to continue into the future, it'd be wise to grant respect so that we do not become distracted from the danger that the axis posed to Western civilization. Thanks, and I'll talk to you again soon with a question, I promise.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong. One of the failings of the New Atheists, I think, was actually to fail to recognize that Christianity underpinned the Enlightenment. Because, obviously, they wanted to try and pretend like atheism sprung ex nihilo from reason itself, and it's like, okay, well, there are many arguments on either side of that, but at the end of the day, you can't deny the Christian heritage of the West, and there's no point trying. So yes, basically, I would rather people be Christian than any other kind of religion. So as an atheist, big up the Christians, Deus Vult. Let's go for the next one.
I was genuinely moved yesterday to be declared by the Lotus Eaters not to be a soy boy, and in fact, a good boy.
You're welcome.
I wondered if other guys would like a way by which we could identify ourselves. Not a soy boy doesn't quite sound right. Something catchier, maybe sans soy. And then I thought maybe we could have a Blue Peter style badge. I wonder if anybody could maybe design us an iconic lapel pin or emblem with, you know, the initials of that. Thanks.
I love the way that the joke's going, but at the end of the day, that requires logistics, and the answer is no.
No, isn't this technically what the Proud Boys kind of were?
Yes.
Like, it was a joke set up to be like, we're not soy, we're men.
Yes.
And then, you know, it kind of took on a mind of its own, I guess.
Yes, but the best way to do that is by not being soy. You know, be a man. The thing about virtue is you never have to explain it to someone else. It's always self-evident. And that's what we're aiming for here.
Good way of putting it.
Yeah. It's Aristotle. I'm telling you, man, it's the way that we need to start thinking of things, especially because it's secular as well. Not to disrespect the Christians, but I'm not buying into a bunch of hocus pocus mumbo jumbo that comes from the Bible, right? But that's fine. I'm completely tolerant of that, and that's fine. I'm not here to debate that. I'm here to debate whether you should be a loser who sits around and cooms all day and allows the SJWs to turn everything upside down, or whether you should be virtuous and strong and create a holistic human life. And the answer is, of course, Aristotle. Right, let's go for the next one.
Student myself, we need to get rid of the left-wing dominance of universities. I don't think we can do that by just changing lecturers. I think we also need to change students' minds. How can we go about doing that? Cheers.
Well, maybe getting rid of the Chinese propaganda above you first. Sorry, just had to notice.
Says
that.
You. I don't know, actually, though. That's the thing.
Like, students' minds.
We keep getting deplatformed from universities and colleges.
Yeah. So, like, if you actually want to invite us after COVID, we're totally up for
it. Yeah, absolutely. So. Contact at loadseas.com if you want to invite us to your university. We're happy to come. And
we don't get put under the Prevent program.
Yeah, we can't really talk about that yet, can we? Yeah.
Story to come.
Yep, story to come. Right. Let's go to the next one.
Regarding the topic of colonization, would it not be fair to say that Africa is the original colonizer of the entire world? And what do you think the left's reaction to this idea would be?
I mean, you could say that Africa colonized the world if people are indeed from Africa, but if the world isn't inhabited, then there's no moral problem there.
Depends what you mean by colonize here, because yeah. we're talking about a class of cultures.
Yeah.
Whereas people leaving Africa are not like...
People arriving on islands that are uninhabited or something.
Are they clashing with the Neanderthal culture, I guess? Mm. I mean, that's probably the only way I could think about it. But
well, I think the left wouldn't engage properly, frankly. I think they'd just ignore you. Right, okay, next one. I don't think there's any particular way that they'd react to it, frankly.
No cursing, huh? That wasn't fun. Anyway, I'm wondering, for the ideology of dadism, every ideology has this opposing side, which everyone's supposed to despise. What is dadism's, like, great evil? Could it be perhaps morally challenged people?
I mean, obviously, it's going to be morally challenged people, but that's only because the morally challenged people have a particular characteristic that they all share, and that's the fact that they are genetic dead ends. If you are not planning on having children or do not have children, you are the enemy of dadism. I have spoken.
I've just been told by Voice of Wales, apparently they're watching, so good to have you guys.
Welcome.
They have a long statement about the whole thing as well, which I'll pin in as the comments.
Yeah, okay.
It's too long to read.
Yeah.
Sorry, lads.
Yep. Right. So from the webpage where we stream to, which gets privileged comments, Nicholas says, "Hi, folks. Episode 100 is approaching quite rapidly. Any special plans?" No. Do we have any special plans?
Sorry, I missed that.
Do we have any special plans for episode 100?
No. I could think of something. Any comments?
Yeah, any ideas? Leave them in the comments.
Chat and I'll read it.
John Linda says, "Hey guys, earlier this week you were talking about the progressive agenda enveloping rugby and more so football, and it reminded me to tell you guys, look into the 2022 World Cup, which is being held in Qatar. Qatar, of course, but they literally had slaves build the stadiums.
Yep.
A lot of them died. Like 85% of Qatar's population is slave. I don't see how the progressives will be able to sidestep all of that." Well, my friend, you have not really thought deeply into just how in denial the progressives are about things that they don't like. So
it's cultural relativism. Chinese imperialism
exactly,
is fine.
Exactly. Genocide is fine. A bit of slavery, you think they're not going to overlook that? They're going to easily overlook that. Especially if they put, I don't know, rainbow banners on the stadium. That'd be fine. Rainbow slavery would
be
fine.
Oh my God, could you imagine? Oh, you know what?
I know.
I bet the FA will have a standard like that as well.
With the Black Lives Matter fist.
Oh, Jesus. Because they've got it in the UK at least, but I wonder what the international...
You know.
They got to do it. They got accelerationism. Make them do it in Qatar. Mm. It'll be funny
everywhere.
As hell.
Whitehall Peppers, a roving reporter. Hey, dude. G'day, lads. Our two-star general was walking the line at the Capitol last night asking lower-ranking soldiers about their opinion of this whole experience in DC. I asked him why we were still at the Capitol and what we were doing here in the first place. He didn't give me a straight answer, and he said something about it's our duty, our mission, BS. I'm fed up with everything, so I said, sir, with all due respect, this is the most unorganized and laughable thing we've ever done. I don't think you know what the F is going on here, and you are just following orders like the rest of us. He chuckled and said, roger that. And we talked for about 10-15 minutes about the political landscape of America at the moment, and the tone of his voice sounded more like he didn't know what was happening or why either. Dude, you've got to get him watching our podcast. We'll explain what's happening here. I'm getting more and more angry about being here. No one knows why we're here, not even our two-star general. He seemed to appreciate my feedback, surprisingly. I think someone being real with him was refreshing for him. I must admit, talking to him was very nerve-wracking, and it really let me, I really let him have it for not understanding why we're here. Afterwards, I felt I could have a good fight, though. Stay safe, dude. You know,
don't do anything silly, at least.
Yeah, don't do anything silly. But definitely start sharing our podcast around with the higher ups. Say, look, if you're confused, these guys seem to have a fairly good take on it. What do you think? Because, you know, most popular president ever, general. 81 million votes. Could barely scrape by in the primaries, but most popular president in the general.
I do have to wonder, though, because she's saying that these guys are saying it's our duty and whatnot, but no one really knows why they're there.
Mm.
I mean, surely that's kind of common with most conflicts, though. Like, people walking around in Vietnam, like, why are we even here at this point?
Yeah, so. Maybe, but in Vietnam, at least you have an overarching goal, which is stop communism. In Iraq, it's make sure they get rid of the weapons of mass destruction, right?
Turned into get rid of Saddam and then get rid of the Islamists.
Sure, but the point is you have a mission, right? You know, generally speaking, why you're there. But if the answer is not really sure why I'm here, it's just a duty to occupy the capital for some reason, because it was clearly a valid presidential election, then I don't know.
It is a bit different.
Yeah. Wutavos says, everything the government does or is based on violence against peaceful people because of extortion and or terrorism. So it's not surprising that it can only be a net negative in society. As you're in favour of government existing, please example of a government policy that benefits society. The police, as we showed the other day. Next. Sorry, I'm not
a libertarian or an ANCAP. This.
No, I find the anarchists very frustrating. It's not that I, and the thing is, it's not, I'm not even unsympathetic to the view, because governments are dangerous.
The police also in this country do lots of stupid things. Yeah. I mean, as we demonstrated today. But would you really live in a world without the police? I mean, just get rid of them for a small amount of time, as we showed.
Yeah.
And it just turns to chaos.
As Minneapolis demonstrated, you can't do it. Because not everyone shares your philosophy, and those people who don't share your philosophy act out.
There was a perfect instance of this in Canada, which we haven't covered, which is
it was
a long time ago. So
it was in the 60s, where the police resigned for like a day or something, and it took 4 hours for the first bank to be robbed, and then it descended into worse chaos, and then the police had to come back.
So they were going on strike over pay, and it was what changed in the English world, which now police can never go on strike because of this exact reason.
Mm-hmm.
So
there we go. It's not that I'm unsympathetic to the ideal of sort of ANCAPs, but it just doesn't work in practice. Sorry.
Next question.
Yeah. Edward of Woodstock, this is horrific. We should not be giving China a single penny. Correct. What we should be doing is funding alternatives to trading with China, even if it hurts us. That's correct. The sooner we remove our support, the sooner the Chinese people can rid themselves of the repressive regime they're under. The legitimate government is in Taiwan. The repressive regime was there long before we started trading, because it was only in the early 2000s that we really started trading en masse with China. It used to be that everything was made in Taiwan. You know, that used to be the joke. But now it's everything's made in China.
Hong Kong's economy was bigger than all of communist China's before we started doing this.
There we go. More like twice acquitted, says Ruben. If I was obsessed with anyone as much as the media is with Trump, I'd get a restraining order. Wild. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he totally should. He should get one against Nancy Pelosi, or at least file
that would be it. Hilarious, actually. Yeah. On the Nietzsche says, at what point do we just accept that the capital of the United States is occupied by an illegitimate government? At this point, I'm kind of upset with the broader public for not protesting against this kind of tyranny. Well, that's a question that hopefully White Hot Peppers General, two-star general, will be able to answer for us at some point. Cynthia Poole, if there are now two people to be referred to as Voldemort, you could suggest differentiate for those not to totally confuse the issues. Can I suggest Lord Voldemort for English and President Voldemort for the US?
Well, it wasn't two people, because one's a theory.
Yeah.
So,
but
Voldemort theory and Voldemort? I don't like using Voldemort for both. I think TR gets the Voldemort.
Yeah. But what can the Epstein skeptics?
There we go. Good.
Yeah. Right. Freakish Rash says, just echoing what you guys said earlier about SJW policies and ideas infiltrating everyday life, my workplace now requires client-facing staff to add pronouns to their signatures. Embarrassing and somewhat scary. We told you it was coming. Migjen says, with all the racial attacks from the far left, how much do you guys think this is pushing people to actual white supremacist organizations? I don't know, actually. I haven't got any data on it or anything like that, but
demonstrably,
I would suggest that this is happening, and I suggest that they think that it's happening too, which is why they're reacting so strongly to the Voice of Wales. So I was watching like part of the live stream they did yesterday, and they had a video from a chap who I have to say is black because it's relevant, but otherwise it wouldn't bother me. And he was saying, look, these guys aren't racist. They're not white supremacists. I know what white supremacists look like and how they speak and how they act. And that's not what these guys are, because that's not what they are. You know, they're just regular people who don't hate people of other races, but also would like Wales to remain Welsh, which I don't think is an unreasonable proposition.
But also I say it demonstrably, because you interview anyone who would say, oh, I used to be a bit kind of far right and I've calmed back down because of these reasons and that reasons. Mm. You always ask them, well, what made you go that way? It's always the left.
Oh, yeah.
It's always the woke left that made them like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see why. I mean, like, when I heard the stories about the BBC openly saying that they're not going to hire white people, I will admit, I started thinking, well, what are we meant to do then? Are we really just going to have this? But that's the thing.
Derek Pratt says, afternoon, gents. Hope all is going well. I'm working on my way to join the RAF. Got my medical in weeks' time. Congratulations. Since reading the history of philosophy, I've noticed similarities between Plato's Utopia and what the morally challenged want for us. Thoughts. I've just finished rereading Brave New World, and I'll do that for the next book club, I think, because there is a lot in there that's we're actually in an intellectual position to actually extract that other commentators and analysts won't see. So this is why you should be keeping up with the book club, because the things we're doing, it's building to something. You know, there's an understanding that we're generating here. But I'll be answering that question in the book club when I do Brave New World, probably in a couple of weeks' time. I'm going to do a good job of it, obviously, and it's going to be really worth the time. As we're running out of time, I'm going to jump to the super chats now. Ask Frank says, loving the Lotus Eaters here in New Zealand. Woke culture is hitting us like a tsunami, complete with planned race-based policy and an army of SJWs holding the fort, accusing any dissidents of racism. Racist is leftist newspeak for heretic. That's correct. And Frank, if you want to, like, because obviously we're not from New Zealand, if you want to email a bunch of links to us for news articles so we could cover it, I'd be more than happy to do a segment next week about the nonsense that's going on in the farthest flung colony. So just email that over at contact@lotuseats.com and we'd be more than happy to cover that. Apple Mania Gaming says, ex-Aussie PM Karen Dudd is trying to destroy Sky News Australia because newspaper man bad and diversity of opinion is not allowed. It was pretty funny watching him get BTFO'd after lying about old Rupert Murdoch. I mean, I never thought I'd be in a position where I'd have to defend something of Rupert Murdoch's, but Sky News Australia is great and they're doing the Lord's work.
We got to talk about the Facebook thing another time.
Also, we did an interview with Daisy Cousins. It's on the other channel. Go and check it out. But sorry, what was that?
We got to talk about the Facebook thing another time. There's some interesting stuff going on there.
Oh, okay.
We don't have time for it now.
Right. Chase Asher says, we all know why Harris is taking calls from world leaders. Biden is going to step down in 2 years so she can become president. Well, Chase, I fact-checked that myself, and it turns out that she's going to step down in 1 year, so false. Or Snopes you. No, I'd be shocked if he lasts 2 years, man. Shadow Rodney says, I think we should make a distinction between state and people. The party, its name not allowed, oppresses all. Freedom of China, the Alliance of Occupied Nations, and the Uyghurs, down with the CCP. Well, yeah, I mean, China is occupied by communism at the moment.
By the party.
Yeah, the party, the communists. This is Western imperialism over China, obviously, and should be abolished. Don't approve. Well, get rid of the communists.
I suppose you should say Enlightenment imperialism to be specific there.
Sure, but that is Western.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Chinese are currently being occupied by Western imperialists. Student of History says, what does anyone expect from Emperor Zhao Baidin or Machine Gun Nancy or anyone in the American CCP Uni Party? Nothing more than we get, frankly. They're just selling you out. They're openly selling you out to China, and I can't stand it. Keckfile says, Australia has become the great southern land. Facebook and China are now working against Australia. Luckily, Greta still loves us. Cheers. Yeah. Student of History again. So Texans ironically freeze to death, but no, we need those troops in DC because popular consent of the governed. Yes, it's because the government is so popular and so well consenting that you need razor wire and thousands of soldiers. And the soldiers can't even be told why they're there. Dover says, the number one source of human death in the 20th century was democide, death by governments. That's true. Mm-hmm. Biden should not be trusted and kept away from strong winds. People forget that the 20th century, and it's not just governance either, it's ideology. You know, it's particular ideas that made it justifiable to murder other people for particular ideas. And so when the BBC is like, Voice of Wales, we need to check your thinking, you're on the first step of the path towards killing people because of the way they think. And that's not very tolerant.
Why is a state media that's funded to be impartial caring about what a YouTube channel says and what they think?
I don't know. But more importantly, why are the Conservatives not on our side?
Yep.
That's what really annoys me. I voted Conservative. I bet they voted Conservative. I bet they didn't vote Plaid Cymru.
One of them said he was in the Conservative Party under Thatcher, and he's just disgusted by what they're doing now.
Exactly. And the Conservatives are doing nothing. They're the weakest and most pathetic party in the world. And I really understand why so many people despise them, frankly.
They are in power. They have the ability. They don't use it.
Yeah, you should be remaking the country in the pre-Blair vision that you should be promoting, because people would support that. 100%. And it would just be the radical leftists on Twitter and in the media. It's like, just tell them, too bad. Just
win an election.
Yeah, win an election. Yeah, literally. Get your majority and then come back and talk to us about it. Until then, get stuffed. You guys got the Biden ramble wrong. What he essentially said was, I'll lose my job if I say I don't condemn it. he didn't say he would do anything. Of course he's not going to do anything. He's fine with it. Kodiak says, the other day you said Britain should stop giving out all visas. Would you include Australia and New Zealand and the Commonwealth in general? To be honest with you, yeah. Because, I mean, the infrastructure here is staggeringly overburdened. Before the coronavirus, try getting a seat on a train. It's really difficult. Like, and especially if you're going anywhere near London. Like, I just think the quantity has become the problem. I mean, London actually has massive problem with its sewage system because it was built by the Victorians. And now it's massively bigger than it was. And so the infrastructure is not up to the task. And they constantly have to remove fatbergs, from which is giant like icebergs of fat, from the sewer system and things like this. And it's like, you know, we have real problems with just the sheer number. But anyway, yeah.
I mean, if I had a preferential system,
sure,
I'd pick some preferences.
Yeah, but, of course.
If ideally for a few years, yeah.
Just a couple of years. Just, you know, that would be a nice start. But like, yeah, I mean, I'm not against the, obviously, I don't think there's going to be any social problems if Aussies and New Zealanders are Canadians. Well, maybe the Canadians. But,
Aussies stealing stuff again.
Yeah, no, but obviously there's not going to be any cultural problem with that or anything like that. It's just we've had a lot of people. That's it. Reverend Dave, it's amazing you can't say the gender of someone, but you must refer to their race. As for the ads, they're selling the companies, not the products. The ad companies exploit the corrupted system. Yeah, they do. Michael Isaacson says, feeling crimes are the worst. Feeling facts are problematic too. Many feelings should be outlawed, to be honest. And Nitro says, think of nature, save the whales. Ba-dum-tsh. That was terrible. Terrible, Nitro.
I get it.
Whales. Whales. But anyway, right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will be back on Monday. We hope you have a very good weekend. We're actually back in the office tomorrow because we're going to be rearranging things a little bit. So on Monday, things will look a little bit different, probably. Assuming we don't rearrange it, find we hate it, and then just put it back, which is entirely possible. But yeah, so things will look a little bit different on Monday, but don't be afraid. Hopefully it'll be better. But in the meantime, if you want more great content from us, fantastic content, in fact, you can go sign up
for the best content.
It is the best content.
The best.
It is. It's the best content. It is good content, especially the book club stuff. But also the premium podcast. I'm very, very proud of them. But also, just generally, the free content that we have on loadsies.com. We've got loads of it there. And it's all really, really good. And I think it will help inform you better about what's going on in the world, which is all we've ever really tried to do. So anyway, if you want more content, you go to loadsies.com. And in the meantime, have a great weekend.